Good morning to you. And you may proceed.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Samantha D'Angelo. I'm a senior certified law clerk on the supervision of Tom Sturgens from the Sarpy County Public Defender. I represent the appellant, Mr. Jose Cerritos Valdez Montaner. Your Honor, this is a case about denying a defendant his constitutional equal protection rights. When the district court did not consider probation for the appellant based on his immigration status when determining the sentence, this court should remand this case for resentencing. Because the court will find that the district court abused their discretion when applying the relevant factors. Thus, this appellant should have been sentenced to probation or been considered for probation. In this case, the appellant pled to two misdemeanor offenses, attempted probation of a controlled substance and driving under the influence aggravated in an amended petition. However, prior to sentencing, this appellant completed a pre-sentence investigation through the Sarpy County Probation Office, and this PSI was provided to the court prior to sentencing.
What did the PSI tell us?
The PSI was actually in favor of the appellant receiving probation.
Did it make a recommendation at all with respect to sentencing?
It made a recommendation to probation, but it did express a hesitation of giving probation to an illegal immigrant. That was the main concern, but PSI was was low in reoffending. It was a medium in the drug, because he was found with a small amount of residue, really, of cocaine. But it was overall spoke highly of the appellant.
Did it indicate any potential hurdles to success on probation?
The only hurdle that was identified was his illegal immigration status.
Did he have a valid driver's license?
I'm not quite sure the answer to that question. I know he did have an A card. And that wasn't cited as a concern. He was employed.
Did he have a social security number? Did the PSI speak to whether or not he had a social security
number? He does not have a social security number.
And the PSI indicated as much.
I believe so.
Thank you.
However, during the sentencing, the court declined to sentence the appellant to probation or even consider it because the judge did not think he was able to because of the appellant's illegal status, which he believed would violate the first term of probation, which would be to obey all laws. The court concluded that in order for him to comply with probation, he would have to leave the country and thus would not be able to be supervised by probation.
Isn't the first provision that the court was referring to, isn't the statutory language, doesn't it say refrain from unlawful conduct?
That is correct.
And isn't someone who is present in the United States without a visa or without documentation, isn't that conduct unlawful, even though it may not be a criminal offense?
I'm not quite sure. I know that when you enter into the United States under 8 U.S.C. 1325, that is a crime. But although because we don't have any guidance here in Nebraska, we have to look to our sister states to determine what they have done. And Kansas has held, in State v. Martinez, that although that entry is illegal, the ongoing residence in the United States is not a crime, and it's not a violation of state or federal
law. I guess that's why I'm asking. The provision the district court was relying on doesn't say don't commit a crime. It says refrain from unlawful conduct. Isn't that a broader concept than mere commission of a crime?
I would agree that is, but I would also agree that according to our federal laws, just being in the United States illegally is an unlawful conduct because it's not a crime.
You don't, well, again, you're saying because it's not a crime, it's therefore lawful to be in the United States without having the proper documentation?
I would agree that it's probably not lawful, but it's not a violation that should be taken into account.
That means it's unlawful, correct?
I would suppose so.
Was it one unlawful act? Is it an ongoing unlawful act?
It's not an ongoing unlawful act unless you have been deported or removed and then came back under USC 1326. At that point, every day that you are in the United States is a violation. That is an unlawful act every day.
What did the PSI indicate about whether the defendant here had returned to the country illegally?
So there was an arrest in 2013 in Laredo, Texas, which stated that he was arrested for illegal entry, but illegal entry would be under 1325, which is that one-time crime. However, there was no evidence provided on the record that he was removed or deported, and there's further no evidence that the Department of Homeland Security initiated removal proceedings or deportation. They're just, the record doesn't provide that. And we have no reason to believe that he was deported or removed involuntarily.
Kind of a practical question. You mentioned early in your remarks that the defendant here didn't have a valid social security number, so I assume you would concede that he couldn't lawfully work in the United States. If he were to be given probation, and a condition of that probation were that standard requirement that you work, that you obtain employment, what are the implications for a court ordering someone to be employed when they can't lawfully be employed in this country?
Well, this defendant, I did, he was working two jobs at the time, but regardless of that, the statute also...
How does one work at two jobs without a social security number?
I'm not sure. I know that he was employed by Omni Construction, and then I'm not sure what their protocols are or how they employ people that don't have... He didn't have any number. So I'm not sure if there's a different procedure. I'm just not well versed on the employment factors of that. But further, there's also, the statutes do provide that the judge does have the authority and the discretion to make modifications of probation. And so he could have, I mean, to give probation to somebody like that, he would be able to modify it if needed.
So you're suggesting, if I understand correctly, that the trial judge, that the sentencing judge could have given probation but could have left out of the terms and conditions the order that the defendant refrain from unlawful conduct and the provision that the defendant be employed.
He did have that within his discretion.
If the order or if the term and condition that a defendant refrain from unlawful conduct isn't included in an order of probation, does the state have any right to seek a revocation of that probation or file a violation if an additional offense occurs? In other words, if there's no requirement in the condition of probation that the person abide by the law, if there's a subsequent law violation, can that probation ever be revoked?
It could. What I'm trying to say here is
well, an inherent requirement is that you abide by the law.
Inherent
in all these things is that you abide by the law, and if you break the law, that might be grounds for revocation of probation, despite the fact that the court told you you shouldn't engage in unlawful conduct.
Well, in this case, the appellant just being here in the United States is not a crime. I mean, and he otherwise had a very clean record.
Do we want to go through that discussion again? It was unlawful conduct, though, wasn't it?
Yes, in a way, because it's, I mean, he's not here legally. He's not here legally.
All right. Thank you.
If I may, the court has argued that the appellant here was in violation of the USC 1326, which does condemn the re-entry into the United States after being previously deported or removed. However, in this case, as we previously discussed, that's not applicable here because he was guilty. He did post-convicted of 1325, which was the legal entry, but not there's no record that he was deported or had been removed. So he's not in a constant law violation state. In this case, the district judge did not consider the appellant for probation based on his illegal status. However, the state may argue that other factors were considered. However, that reasoning is also flawed because in the record, the judge states that the court might entertain probation, but it was very difficult because he was a legal immigrant. The judge incorrectly believed that the appellant's immigration status affected the appellant's compliance with the first requirement of probation. The judge never made a factual finding to determine whether the appellant's immigration status was affected or violated probation. Therefore, any argument the state makes regarding the factors the judge considered are irrelevant because this appellant would have been a fit candidate for probation had the court correctly used the discretion to consider it for the appellant. The district court abused its discretion when it did not consider the appellant for probation. The district court expressed hesitation when sentencing the appellant to jail instead of probation. It is our hope that this argument has been able to provide the guidance it needs. For the foregoing reasons, I pray that the court remand this matter to the district court for resentencing. If there's no further questions, I would.
I have one extra question before you sit down. Is it significant to our analysis that the defendant was picked up for DUI and didn't have a license and has a prior, that the record in the PSI indicates that he previously had been driving without a license? Is that significant at all?
I don't believe that it is, because I feel like if he was remanded for probation versus having a jail, there he could proceed with immigration proceedings and maybe become a legal resident here so he can obtain a driver's license. But as it stands right now, because he got a jail sentence, he's limited going forward on immigration. Probation has the opportunity to be set aside. And with that jail sentence, immigration proceedings to be here legally, to drive legally, are restricted for this defendant.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Love, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, George Love, on behalf of the Appellee of the State of Nebraska. The question presented for the Court today, I think, is did the District Court abuse its discretion in denying probation to an illegal alien where placing him on probation subject to the statutory requirements would require him to refrain from unlawful conduct? I would say based on that item alone, there was no abuse of discretion. I disagree with my colleague, senior certified clerk. It is illegal to be present in this country, and I cited the statute because you didn't just appear. You had to cross the border, lie to get in, or under 8 U.S.C. 1325, you obfuscated your presence to an immigration officer. So I think, and I also think, it's an ongoing crime. Every day that you're in here, you're here illegally. That's ongoing.
Is there anything in our record about how or when the defendant arrived in this country?
No, not that I saw. So, but I don't think that there
is. Is it the position of the Attorney General's office that anyone who is here illegally cannot be put on probation?
I'm not going to speak for the Attorney General, but what I am going to say is it's not up to the courts to make social judgments here, and that's what this is leading to. This isn't an equal protection challenge here. There's no such thing. Otherwise, all immigration laws would be illegal, unconstitutional. That's simply not the case. Article 1 sets forth that the primary function of government is protect the borders of the United States. My argument in this case. My argument is if you are here illegally, you're not, at least under the laws of this state, you are not entitled to probation. It's
not
a right.
You're not entitled to probation. You can't be on probation.
That's correct. You can't, because you can't refrain from obeying all laws. Every day you're here committing a crime.
Mr. Love, isn't it possible for a court to place someone on probation without any conditions whatsoever?
That's kind of reductio ad absurdum. I don't understand the point of that. Why are you going to do that? I think the court is going to be required to follow certain statutory factors set out there. I don't think it can pick and choose, and I think one of the main conditions by statutory mandate is to refrain from unlawful conduct. That's impossible in this case.
Doesn't the statute say may require compliance with these provisions?
Yes, and I've seen in my own experience where county or district court judges will place a person on probation to the court, whatever that means, and basically tell the defendant go and sin no more, and that's pretty much the end of it, unless they
and
come
wouldn't
back.
It be conceivable that a sentence of that kind could be conferred upon someone who is in this country without documentation?
Yes, but I would say that that is illegal because you're ignoring the statutory mandates. I think the Kansas court said it, and I think Justice Brandeis said it, nothing can destroy a government more quickly than its failure to observe its own laws, or worse, its disregard of the character of its own existence. As Justice Brandeis said, our government is a potent, omnipresent teacher. For good or for ill, it teaches the whole people by its example. If the government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for the law. It invites every man to become a law to himself. It invites anarchy. That's Mr. Justice Brandeis, 1928, in Olmstead versus the United States, cited by the Kansas Supreme Court in its decision. And if you'll note that that court found, even under de novo review of standard, de novo standard of review, that the fact that the person is an illegal alien is a substantial and compelling reason for denial or departure from sentencing guidelines and denial of probation. So it's in opposite to what colleague Dancer.
Is there a statute? Is a Kansas statute similar to our recent statutes?
In terms of the requirements for probation, I can't answer that, Your Honor. What I did look at was the standard of review. My understanding from the case that, the court is bound by sentencing guidelines, unlike this court. It's de novo review in Kansas if you want to depart, which this would be a departure from their sentencing guidelines. That's what I got out of the case. And they found specifically that the illegal status is a substantial and compelling reason for departure and may be considered for the denial of probation, even under a denial.
Is there a fundamental question of law in this matter, as opposed to an abuse of discretion?
Yes, there is. And the answer is are we going to, under the guise of social engineering, I can't think of another word.
I'm referring, is there a question of law? Is there some statute that the trial court either did or did not correctly recite or interpret?
Well, I think the court cited 29-22-62, but not specifically by number, but saying that, it's a little uncertain. The district court acknowledged that there's some confusion with respect to whether you could even put this person on probation, him being in the country illegally, but ultimately concluded, based upon the requirements of 29-22-62, that he could not. That doesn't mean that was...
So that was a decision of law. If there's this set of facts, I must do this.
Yes.
Is that how you read the trial court order?
It's kind of a mixed question of fact and law. In other words, if there's no facts to support the idea that he's an illegal alien, then I don't think the issue arises. So it's a factual-based question that arrives at a conclusion of law.
If the facts were to show an undocumented person presented him or herself to the court, then you're saying as a matter of law, under the relevant statutes, probation is not available.
That's what I'm saying.
Position is?
Yes.
Is that the state's position,
yes,
that the trial court has no discretion to grant probation to a person who is here illegally?
I don't believe it does, because he can't live up to the terms of the statutory conditions of probation. So the answer is no. And he has no equal protection challenge. Period. We would ask that you affirm the district court in all respects. Your Honors, if I may take a moment of your time, I just wanted to inform the court that this is my last argument in front of this court. As you probably know, I'm retiring December 2nd, and I just wanted to say it's been a real privilege and honor to have the privilege to argue so many cases in front of the court based on my position, and I wanted to say it's also been a real pleasure working for the Attorney General's office with my colleagues, who apparently all showed
evidently
up today
here.
And are very supportive and just an immeasurable help when you have to present argument in front of this court. And I just want to say thank you very much. And Godspeed.
Mr. Love, it's also demonstrative of the nature of our institution that as you depart, a senior certified law student is presenting her first argument, and very capably, I might add.
Siobhan Duffy was my clerk, and this is her first oral argument in front of the court, so I kind of look at that as a continuation.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your years of service, Mr. Love.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate that. On we go then to the next case of the day, which is In Re Interest of Darren C. Justice Kelch will rejoin the court.